Hi, this is filmmaker BJ Colangelo, and you're listening to The Default Setting with Jess Falstick and Gigi Chick, presented by Above Below Entertainment.
Setting where we find out what makes you tick because we have ways of making you talk. I am your host, Jess Falstick.
And I am co-host Gigi Chick.
And today we have record store goddess and first lady of Above Below Entertainment.
Oh,
Miss Chelsea King, how are you?
Hi, good. How are you guys?
Good. We're so happy to have you.
I'm so excited to be here.
Well, it's so funny because I knew about you for a while just because everyone was like, this chick is fucking funny as shit. And then furthermore, you started dating Jordan, and like Jordan and I are friends. And I think I officially met you at like Yoshi's Halloween party, probably.
Yes, I believe that's correct.
But it's just funny because like literally the only things I ever hear about you is you're funny as fuck, and like Jordan thinks you're like a fucking like goddess on earth.
Oh.
Like, it's ridiculous. Like, it's funny because like
my heart is just so big and full.
Well, it's just funny because like if my boyfriend weren't that way, I would be like, I'm breaking up with whoever it is so that I can find a man that like looks at me the way Jordan like looks at you.
That's just a life goal.
Yeah. And so that's the thing, like, that's why I'm with my boyfriend now, because he pretty much puts me on the same level as Jordan puts you on, like earth goddess, like never will like ever.
Incredible. I've never experienced anything like it before.
Great?
Yeah.
And it also melts my heart too, because Jordan's just Jordan. And then you hear him like melt when he talks about Chelsea. He turns into this total like mushy gushy little teddy bear. And I ship it. Like, I ship it so hard. And I think ship's supposed to technically mean if you're not together, but I don't know. I'm just like, you guys just need to be together forever, because this is literally the fucking cutest thing ever.
If you want to write fan fiction about us, I will allow it.
I'm going to make like little anime. Yeah.
Honestly, if anybody out there wants to do it,
draw Bam Bam Bigelow. Yes. And a really pretty girl with like perfect eyebrows.
Oh,
just
my.
Like,
oh, wow.
Just like, this is Chelsea and Jordan. I'm going to draw some anime.
Yeah.
So, Chelsea, your default setting is only child?
Yeah, I believe it is.
That's so cool.
Yeah. Oh.
Because we haven't had that yet, and I've never
been
like, I've said this a million times, I love everyone who's come on and talked about like really heavy shit, but I also love shit that's just kind of like, I don't know anything about, like, Jesse just did Amish, I don't know anything about being an only child, so I'm always fascinated to learn like shit I don't know anything about. So when you say it's your default setting, like, is it just kind of like, various behavior throughout your life sort of contributes to the fact you never really had to share much growing up?
For sure. Okay. I've been an only child my whole life. And I don't know how I wouldn't have, whatever. But I think a lot of times in my life I find myself like trying to justify my behavior with, well, I'm an only child, you know?
Yeah.
What do you want from me?
Yeah, exactly.
What do you expect?
I'm not good at sharing. I never had to.
Yeah.
I think a lot of the aspects about being an only child, a lot of the attributes that I probably exhibit are definitely negative things.
Okay.
Like I said, I'm not good at sharing.
Okay.
I am very much entitled.
Okay.
In addition to being an only child, I was also the first grandchild on both sides of my family.
Oh, boy. Okay. Pressure.
Spoiled. Very spoiled.
Okay.
My parents were one of the first couples out of their friends to have kids.
Okay.
I am very used to having people be incredibly interested in what I'm doing all the time.
Okay. So I was gonna say, my thing, I'm not an only child, but I fucking love the shit out of attention.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah,
yes.
Okay.
Big
good.
Time.
Okay.
I I mean, if I am like sitting on the couch playing with my cell phone, someone should be asking me, well, what are you doing? What are you doing over there? You know, it's like
people. Who are you talking
to? People need to be interested in what I am doing.
That's
yeah, because my mom is like obsessed with me. Okay. She still buys me groceries. Sometimes she'll call me and be like, well, I picked up yep. some Diet Coke for you. I picked up some Coke for Jordan.
Oh, yeah, that's so cute.
I just picked you up a variety pack of Lay's chips.
Aww.
And yeah, and I love her. She is absolutely wonderful, but she is incredibly obsessed with me, and it is probably detrimental to my development as a human. Yeah. Yeah.
So... did your parents actively decide on to have more kids, or what was the situation?
I don't know the answer to that.
Okay.
I don't think I've ever really
asked,
had a discussion with them about it. I could tell you I don't think I was ever one of those kids who was like, I want a little sister.
Sure.
Or, you know, and I like,
yeah.
I always loved being an only child.
Yeah.
One of the positive things I think that has come out of being an only child is that I never feel lonely when I'm alone.
That's awesome.
I'm bored.
Yeah.
I'll get bored, of course.
Yeah.
But I never feel like, well, I need to be around people.
Sure.
Yeah.
And I think that's a great thing.
That's
probably a good thing.
Because I struggled with that. And it really didn't have anything. I mean, maybe it did. I mean, my brother and I weren't that close growing up, but ultimately, yeah, I did have a lot of struggles with like being alone by myself. So it's good when you never have. I feel like that's a huge weight off your shoulders to never have.
Yeah, it is. What is the age difference? Do you just have one brother?
Yeah, just two. He's 2 years younger.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you have siblings, Gigi?
Yeah, I have 2 younger brothers. We're all 2 years apart.
Okay. All right. I'm like, I love meeting siblings and like... mentally trying to identify like the similarities and differences between them.
You would love my brothers and I, though.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Do you all like look the same?
There's a resemblance.
There's
for
definitely
sure.
like a very strong resemblance.
Yeah.
But then, you know, I'm like the shortest, but I'm the oldest. And then my middle brother, Sam, looks more like our Serbian father.
Okay.
And he's just like this big, burly, just teddy bear. Like, he is the sweetest guy you'll ever meet. Is just a total sweetheart, but looks like a bouncer. And then my younger brother looks like more like me and my mom, who's Irish, and like just super dry sense of humor, but we look most alike.
Really?
So we like are like the bookends. And his eyelashes are like twice as long as mine.
Oh, fuck him. Fuck that guy. I always hate when guys get longer eyelashes.
But
it's like,
we
got
like,
a bigger dick. Like, that's just bullshit. That's not okay.
We have very similar, like, the same things make us laugh. Like, we have almost like our own language.
See, I like that kind of stuff even more than, you know, like, do you look identical to your siblings?
Yeah.
And, like, it's so fascinating to hear, like, siblings who have the same voice. You know, something like that.
Yeah.
Or, like... like if you just the same like mannerisms and stuff. I love that. I find it like fascinating.
It freaks people the hell out because people who meet my brother. So we are literally probably polar opposite because I'm very fair skinned. My hair is a lot darker than it used to be, but it's a lot like his hair is like Gigi's color.
Yeah.
And he has dark eyes, dark skin. He's like 6'5". Like we don't like aesthetically look anything alike, but then occasionally like he'll make a face or I'll make a face and they'll be like, they're like they see the exact they see the face, they see like mannerisms, and I'm fascinated by like the whole genetic sort of like thing. Like are your parents together?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's cool. We were just talking about that too.
Now I'm the oddball.
Because Jessie was saying she's super fascinated. She doesn't know anybody whose parents were together.
Oh,
and
okay.
So,
yeah.
Like, so I'm always interested to actually meet because my parents
it's
are
such
together.
A rarity
it's
nowadays.
Very rare. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Are you close with your parents?
I am. Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Cool.
I'm very close with my parents.
Very cool. So do you know if you were planned or an accident? Do you arrest them?
I was definitely an accident.
Okay.
My mom was, if she listens to this, like, I'm sorry for revealing
your
life.
I love always like the disclaimer, like, if you're listening,
yeah.
I'm sorry.
My mom will have passed out by now.
Your mom is dead
for something
now from shock.
My mom was like 3 months pregnant when they got married.
Okay.
But my parents had been together for probably like 10 years.
Oh, okay.
So
gotcha.
They were, my parents were kind of hipsters, I would say.
Yeah. Of their time.
Yeah. Yeah. Like late
OG
70s,
hipsters.
80s hipsters. Yeah. And my dad was in a band and wanted to be like a rock star.
Jesse's dad and my dad were in bands. What the fuck is even happening right now?
My dad was in a band.
Oh, that's right. Your dad was in a band. My God. Holy shit. What is happening?
We should start a band.
Daughters of Anarchy or some shit.
Where's my triangle?
Yeah. So I think my parents wanted, I think the only reason they didn't like get married and, you know, start a family on purpose is because they were trying to lead like a rock star life.
Yeah.
I guess. And so then my mom got pregnant and my dad has said to me before, like, well, you kind of proposed to your mom. you know? So
that's so cute.
So
non-sentimental, that's right, for sure.
Right. Yeah. Okay, Dad. I hope
you're a Jesus. Yeah.
You were the proposition.
Yeah. But I mean, they're, you know, 30 years later, that's they're still so together. Great. So
that's
yeah.
fucking phenomenal. Cause that's the thing. You so rarely hear like people were together for a decade, but even before they got accidentally in that situation. And then so rarely do you hear when it's an accident that they like remain together out of that situation. So
yeah, I
ship your parents. Holy shit. That's kind of fantastic.
I feel very fortunate. Yeah.
So it was like, you were in an accident and then they were just kind of like, well, this happened. We're not going to actively pursue like,
I don't know if maybe I was just like so good that they knew they couldn't top me.
I know that you're being serious too, which is fantastic. Well, no, because that's so.
There's a hint of irony in what I'm saying, but.
So that's the thing. My parents, they had me on purpose, but my brother on accident. And I think they always wanted to, but they were also like, you were so good that your brother was like a demon spawn in comparison. They don't regret having him, but he had colic or whatever that shit was and screamed for the first 2 years.
Oh, yeah, where
like,
he's just a baby who cries all day.
I acknowledge that. And that's my thing too. Like, I don't have kids, but if I do, ultimately, I'll probably only have one, or I'll have twins because I'm not doing more than one pregnancy. Like,
yeah.
That's for fucking sure.
I don't want to have kids. I don't.
Right.
Probably not.
Right.
When I was like a teenager and in my early 20s, if you would have asked me like, are you ever going to have kids? I would have been like, fuck no. Right. That's bullshit. Right. That's for idiots. But like, I mean, as an adult, if I got pregnant, would that be the worst thing? I probably not. I mean, I don't know.
Yep.
I'm not like working towards it.
That's it. I'm not actively pursuing it, but if it happens, man, fuck it. It happens. You know what I mean? So
yeah, but I think if I had a kid, I would want to raise an only child.
Yeah.
Because I loved it so much.
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely. I forget, Jordan has siblings, right?
Yeah, Jordan has
little siblings.
A younger sister who is maybe I was like 4 or 5 years younger than him. Mm-hmm. And then he has, his parents had twins when he was like 16.
Yeah.
Wow. That's
right. So yeah,
they're way little.
They're 14. Yeah. They are very cool though.
Yeah. I wonder if you get along easier when there's that much of a gap, just because like.
He seems to like really get along with his, you know, with the twins. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because when there's that much of a gap, there's no chance to really have that
contention.
Like that sibling.
Yeah.
Yeah. You wouldn't beat each other up.
Yeah.
And I would hope not.
30-year-old Jordan beating the shit out of his 14-year-old siblings.
No, he's very nice to them.
Yeah, no. He talks about them like you. He's just like, they're so cute and I love them so much. And it's adorable. So it sounds like from a positive perspective, you mentioned that you've always been kind of cool with being on your own, being pretty independent from that perspective.
Yeah, I think I've definitely always been a pretty independent person. I definitely value my time alone.
Yeah. Which I actually think is a virtue as well.
I think so too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So many people become codependent.
I know a lot of people who like cannot be alone and it really bums me out. Mm-hmm. It, like
the people who like have to be in a relationship constantly.
Yeah. Just like, be your own person. Like just learn, learn who you are.
Yeah.
I think I learned who I was at a fairly early age, and that also helped. Has to do with being an only child a lot,
I think. I'm envious of that in a lot of ways because I feel like it took me to hit my 30s before I figured out, even started to figure out who the hell I was because I was the kind of person who couldn't be alone, you know, couldn't be independent. So I'm kind of envious of that whole
thing. I mean, I definitely hit, you know, bumps in the road along the way. And, you know, when I was doing stand-up even, like, I think I was, like, putting on this persona almost and almost doing a character even of like a slut.
Really?
A little bit at some point.
Yeah, but, I missed out on your era, then, so I never got to see any of your stuff.
People tell me it was good.
That's it. It's like legend. Because that's the thing. I've only been doing this 2 years and I don't want to like fucking oversell it, but it's like, you're kind of in that legend era where it's like, oh, back in the day when so-and-so and such. I don't know, just because, like, this is when I'm trying to figure out, like, what the history of the comedy scene is.
Sure.
Like, you come up as a, not even a footnote, but, like, a chapter.
So. Oh, my. Oh, my God.
So, and that's what I, like, and then I was actually intimidated a little bit, because, like I said, all I know of you is, like, your boyfriend gushes about you as a goddess. Everyone in the comedy community thinks, like, you're this historical figure. So I just was like, I don't even know, like, what to ask this chick.
I will be honest with you. I am not aware of that. So, like,
I mean, I'm really,
I like it.
I try to be,
I'm not going to pretend I don't like
it. As a caveat,
it, but,
like, I try to be, like, really in tune with, like, everything. So, like, I don't want to, like, make you feel, like, I don't want to put too much pressure on you just to be like, oh, yeah, like, and I'm glad you like it. Because I feel like sometimes I tell people, like, oh, you're a legend. And, like, stop fucking saying that. That's weird. And I'm like, I don't know. I just hear shit about you all the time.
Oh, no, but, I was once diagnosed with narcissistic personality disorder.
Really? Like
so
officially diagnosed?
Yes. Okay. So I,
and that comes from?
I'm into it.
Being an only child.
For sure. Yeah.
When did you first start noticing like negative connotations that were sort of associated with a part of that?
I mean, as a kid, even, you know, you go over to a friend's house or like have a friend come over to your house and you won't share your Barbies, right? That, you know, it
like,
starts
what?
To,
yeah. Okay.
And it, I think as a kid, I kind of knew like, all right, you know, I don't have to share with like brothers and sisters or anything. So I guess I am going to have to get used to sharing with other people.
So you were aware of it?
I think so.
Okay.
Like,
or like someone made you, like your parents were made you aware of it.
Yeah. And I mean, my parents, now, like I say, my mom is like obsessed with me, but my parents are good parents and they never like.
No, my mom's obsessed with me, but they're good parents.
They didn't treat me like, you know, some kind of princess or anything like that, which I definitely appreciate.
Yeah.
You know, they're very real people.
Okay.
And I was spoiled, but we were also, you know, poor.
Right.
So,
spoil you so much.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. I mean, they gave me literally everything they could. But I don't know. I guess when I first moved away and went to college and I had to like share a dorm with someone, that was the first time I ever had to share a bedroom, you know? And so as like an 18-year-old,
that is rough.
Yeah. Yeah. So like as an 18-year-old, I'm like, I get out of my space.
Yeah.
Like this is already a tiny dorm room. Like this is my room. The college I went to, the dorms were, like suites.
Okay.
So it was two bedrooms and a bathroom and a common room. And there were two.
Where'd you go?
I went to the Columbus College of Art and Design.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
for
yeah.
I did not graduate. I'm it was not good.
Yeah.
But
you went. That's
yeah,
the thing.
For a little bit.
Yeah.
But yeah, so there were two people in each, you know, bedroom.
Gotcha.
And like my first roommate was awesome and she was super fun and she dropped out almost right away.
Oh, no.
And then my next roommate was a nightmare.
Oh, no.
And she was the kind of person who just napped all the time.
Okay.
But she would always say, I'm going to take a 15-minute nap. Just make sure I'm up in 15 minutes.
Wait,
and
why
then
is that
like,
on you?
I'm not really sure. She may have also been
ma'am.
An only child.
Oh shit.
Maybe. I don't know. But so then like 8 hours after the 15-minute nap, she wakes up and she's like, why didn't you wake me up? And I was like sharing I'm not going to share a bedroom.
But see, that's anybody. Like, I would have totally empathized with your position.
Yeah,
like,
no, she was awful.
That's not like, our alarm clock.
She was also like a person who turned the heat up to 85 all the time. So at some point, and like the heat thermostat, there's the word, the thermostat was only in one bedroom.
Okay.
So, and that was the bedroom that me and her shared.
Okay.
And at some point, she kept turning it up and the rest of us got real sick of it. So I turned it down to like 60 and poured a bunch of super glue in there so she couldn't turn it back up. And that made the like last couple months of that year okay. No, it was okay. Better. I mean, it was better. Much better for me.
Did she not figure out like what?
She was not very bright.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. That makes which explains why she couldn't figure out an alarm clock.
Well, yeah.
It was just making me think because I went to Ohio State and the towers had like similar setups where the floor had a common bathroom, but there were like these little cluster like rooms or whatever. Yeah. So I wondered if that was part of it. Because the only dorm I ever lived in, I had three roommates.
Oh, okay.
And it was probably smaller than this collective, like, living room, dining room area.
And did you have, like, a bunk bed and then
We had a bunk bed and then one. And fortunately, nobody had sex because the two of us were in serious relationships, but for whatever reason, we never had sex. And then the other one was like, she was basically like on Indian Rumspringa where she was like here in the States and she was like, I'm just going to fuck everybody that moves because my wealthy dad back in Goa has no idea what I'm doing right now.
Good for her. You go, girl.
And at the time,
you go, a girl.
I was not. We're going to need to play a Bollywood sound effect at the end of this. Oh my God, that was good. But it was just funny because I was like 19 and from the sticks at the time. And I was just like, what is happening in this apartment? Like, I don't know.
Sounds like a model loft or something.
Yeah. It was like, it's kind of banana, except like sans booze and coke. I had a very boring college existence. But so, I mean, it sounds like that though. Like, I empathize with like very much with like your position. Did you struggle? Because it sounds like you were also aware that you had to share a lot as a kid. But was it like a struggle for you still to kind of deal with that mentality?
Yes. Okay. And here is why. I don't know what this stems from, but like I am always under the impression that if someone else touches my stuff, it's gonna come back ruined.
Oh yeah. 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 That's like almost like that's me. Like I'm very OCD. Like you cannot touch my stuff unless I trust you. Like explicitly.
As a record collector, I would never in my life for any reason loan a record to another person.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I don't care how much I like you. You cannot borrow my records.
Can't touch my records.
I don't know how you treat them.
So this begs the question, have you lived with people before Jordan?
Well, yes.
Okay.
I lived in a dorm for a year
in a relationship
college.
Context.
In a relationship context. Yeah, yeah. No.
Okay, so this is the first one.
This is
it's going well though, it sounds like.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. And he stays out of your shit? Is that kind of how it works?
Yeah. Actually our bedroom is pretty much
divided
directly in half. Like I have my own sheets on the bed and he has his own sheets on the bed.
Wait, how does that even work?
Well,
one
flat sheet, one fitted sheet.
Okay,
you know?
Gotcha.
And then everything else, I have my own stealing blankets. He has, right, exactly.
Oh, I gotcha. Okay, that's
a smart idea.
That's really smart.
Right?
Yeah.
I don't know why more people don't do that. They're like,
my husband always hogs the blankets. I'm like,
holy
get your own
shit,
blankets.
I'm going home and making the bed like that tonight.
Right?
I mean, it makes sense because then both people are comfortable.
A queen size sheet is not big enough for two adult humans.
No, I agree. It's
uncomfortable.
Like, Adam's like 6'5", and we're in a queen size bed. And then we have two damn cats that are like taking up the bed.
Oh,
and there's
God.
No room. There's no fucking
room.
Yeah,
forget about it.
And no. I would literally die of heat exhaustion. Like if I had to share a sheet with someone every night, they would literally just be smoked out of the room.
That's
be
a
like,
great point.
What temperature is coming off of your body right now? I'd be like, sorry.
So it sounds like, I mean, like you guys have a good like symbiosis as far as just figuring out like,
yeah, for sure. We've been when did I move in? Like probably November. Okay. So December, January, February, March, so like four and a half months.
Yeah.
I've been living there, and it's when I moved in, I was like, all right, I've never like lived with someone
this
before.
Yeah.
This could be weird.
Yeah.
But like I have been very pleasantly surprised.
That's a cool house too. You guys have quite a bit of space.
Yeah, it's a nice. Great house. Yeah. I love living there. And yeah.
I think the space probably helps too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, we're kind of right now technically just in one bedroom.
Okay.
But eventually we'll have
more room.
You know, yeah, much more space. But okay. Yeah, it's I like it a lot.
So from a relationship perspective, it's worked out pretty well. Besides the dorms, have you had like other roommates and things like that?
Yeah, my second year in college, I had two roommates. One of them was one of my best friends in high school.
Okay.
He was also living in Columbus and going to OSU.
Okay.
And then my other roommate that year was one of my roommates from the first year in the dorms, who lived in the other bedroom.
Okay.
So not the terrible one.
Okay, gotcha.
Definitely not.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
That was, that living experience was just a very college, you know, 19-year-old living experience.
Okay. Was it a house?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was a duplex.
Okay.
And, I mean, it was just, a lot of bad decisions, probably a lot of Guitar Hero.
Yeah, no doubt about that.
Yeah.
That sounds nice. Great, actually.
Yeah. And then.
It's like all of high school.
Yeah, right.
And then I lived there for a year and then moved back home with my parents until about a year ago. I moved out and moved in with my best friend in Lakewood.
Okay.
And she is like a sister to me. But as best friends, we've known each other. Abby.
Okay. Yes. I've not officially met her either. She's both of you are like pretty girls with perfect eyebrows. And I just met you. I still haven't officially met Abby yet. Or if I have, I was really drunk. I'm sorry, Abby. I probably met you and I'm super drunk, but yeah.
Yeah. So like Abby and I have known each other literally our entire lives. Our parents are, you know, best friends.
Mm.
And, Abby and I have been best friends since we were probably 12 and 13.
Shit, okay.
Yeah. But along the way, we have butted heads a lot. And
I think that's the true sign, though, like you're going to make it through when you can just be like that to each other.
So you guys are basically like the Abby and Alana of Cleveland.
Yeah. Kinda, yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I'll go for that. And I thought that, you know, living with her, I was very nervous that, like, well, we're just going to have a falling out at some point and stop being friends.
Yeah,
and
that's always a risk. You can't just move in with any good friend.
Yeah, and, but I love her to death. We are still very close. And we never had any kind of weird, like, blow up living together. And that's kind of when I realized, like, okay, you know what? I can live with people.
Yeah.
Like, I can function as an adult.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds like, to your credit, I think a lot of people just never fucking figure it out. You know what I mean? When it becomes, even if it's not just like an only child thing, but it's like I can't share or everything's about me. Like, either they never figure it out or they figure it out way later on. Like,
yeah.
They don't get it together. What do you attribute that, like, sort of self-awareness to?
I mean, I guess a lot of that could because I've always just been me.
Okay.
You know, as like, you know, as an only child and growing up with no, you know, siblings and having to immediately relate to other people that
way.
It's
like an outside perspective sort of thing.
Yeah. I mean, it's, I just feel like I don't know how, but like at a young age, I kind of learned this is the person I am, and this is, you know, the trajectory I take.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah. Do you attribute doing stand-up at all to sort of that element?
Oh, sure.
The attention sort of thing?
Absolutely. Okay. I at my grandma's house, I used to, go, you know, stand in, like, this little hallway with, you know, a light on above me, and that was my stage. And I don't think I ever really did stand up or anything like that, but I would do little songs you know, and I was the only kid for, you know, probably like 5 years. So it was all about me. Yeah. It was always all about me. And yeah, I think that definitely had a lot to do with me doing stand-up and stuff. I like it when people have to look at me and listen to me.
Yeah. I so relate to that so hard.
Yeah.
So you said you did like a lot of just like singing and performing in front of like your family.
Oh, yeah.
And that kind of thing.
Oh, yeah.
When did you start to think like, I'm not going to be a singer, but I'm going to err more on the side of just performance, comedy and performance.
When I was in high school, I did drama club.
Okay.
I did a bunch of plays. I never did musicals. My high school didn't do musicals.
Oh, okay. Where'd you go to high school?
North High in Eastlake.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but our drama department was,
okay.
It was like really garbage.
Yeah, we didn't have one.
We had so many musicals. It was
we had musicals out the asshole, but we never. Yeah.
Really I mean, our stage was like 2 inches big. It was really bad. But yeah, I did plays in high school, and then after college, when I moved back home, I went to community college for a while, and I did a couple plays when I was there. And I always thought that was super fun. And then at community college, I also took an acting class. I think this probably would have been like 2011. So I would have been like 23 or so. And our final project.
My hip.
For the our final project for the acting class was just do 5 to 7 minutes of anything.
Okay.
And I was like, you know what? I'm going to do stand up. That sounds like it'll be fun.
Yeah.
And so I did it, and I fucking loved it.
Aww.
And, like, everybody told me I did a good job. So yay. I was like, I have to keep doing this. And, yeah.
What's funny is I keep trying to tell her that she needs to do it, and that's what Jesse was telling her on the way. Like, you need to fucking do stand-up. And I feel like it's funny because we all talk about it, and it's almost always the same experience, which is, I did it once, I was amazing, and then I could never stop. Because, like, I was so... And, like, I wonder if that's why that will inevitably happen to you. Like, we'll twist your arm for so long, you're like, fine, I'll fucking do it, and then we'll turn you into this monster.
I could see it. I feel the same way about tattoos. I don't have a tattoo yet. And I, like, a part of me knows as soon as I get one, it's just going to be
slippery slope.
Sleeves McGee over here. Yeah.
Fair warning. Something they don't tell you before you get a tattoo is that if you ever get arrested, they're going to mugshot your tattoos.
Yeah, that makes sense. Because it's an identifier.
I have been terrified to get another tattoo ever since I experienced that.
Just because you don't want them to have to take the picture of wherever it is.
I don't know. It's just more identifying marks on my body. Mm-hmm. And
that doesn't bother me. And I don't know why, but I used to work at the Justice Center downtown. So I would read through pages of like basically just descriptions of different defendants that I was going to meet, and I had to like, I remember there being descriptions of tattoos.
Oh yeah.
Were the descriptions kind of just like, were they like really strange, or was it just you just remember in general?
I mean, it was just very like, just left arm, bicep, this figure, this word, this you know, it was just.
Not that this is anywhere near relevant, but it's so strange. I volunteer at the animal shelter once a week, and occasionally, like, on the cards, so there's cards on the cages that describe, like, what the cat looks like, so, like, they can kind of just, you know, if they don't end
up... If it runs away or something,
or if, like, the collar gets detached from it, they can still figure out kind of who it is. And lately, I've been seeing more and more, and I have no idea what this means in the context of cats, but it'll be, like, tabby, gray, and then it'll be, like, tattoo. I don't know what the fuck that is in the context of cats. Like, I don't know what that means, but it drives me crazy because now I need to figure out, like, what
I wonder if that means that there's some type of, like, color outside of their tabby colors.
Like, just say spot.
It's, like, gray it's like and black, and then there's, like, a white, like, you know what? Marking on
Abby
it or something.
One of Abby's cats actually has... I guess she's probably a tabby.
Okay.
It's like a...
Abby tabby.
Yeah. But she has like one spot right on her forehead that's orange.
Okay.
And it's so cute.
That's cool. She's a bindi.
It's precious. It's totally precious.
Jerusha has
has a bindi.
And at the APL, her name was Macaroni. And I wonder if that... I wonder if that had anything to do with it.
Oh,
that's fantastic.
I love it when cats are named after food. Dude. I don't know why. Know. If you name your pet after food, I love that.
Yeah. All of the names that I've ever had for like any potential cat or dog are it's food.
It's
food?
Cute. Cannoli. I don't know why it's cute.
I agree. What'd you have?
I had cannoli, noodle. What was it? Crumpet. Like they're all
like the British. British. Yeah.
That's a British kitten. Oh my god.
One of the cutest cats I ever saw at the APL was named Pork Pie. And it was probably like half the name. And that's
I'm all about it.
So my brother has the first cat he got like 4 or 5 years ago, he named him Pork Chop.
Oh.
And so we always just call him like Pork. But then he got another cat just last year and he named him Pork Bun. So he has Pork Chop and Pork Bun.
Oh, that's very so cute. Now
I thought like you were going to say applesauce and I got really excited.
Yeah, no, he was like dating an Asian girl for a minute. So I think that was like where the influence came from. So he was taking, Pork Bun persuasion. And Pork Chop. So now we have to like Bun and Chop so that we can identify who Pork is in that scenario.
I met dogs named Biscuit and Butter.
Oh
that's cute.
The guy like so nonchalantly like, my friend and I were picking up a piece of furniture. It was like a Craigslist like purchase. And he like just so nonchalantly, he was like, Biscuit, Butter, get over here. And I went, oh my
God. Like to introduce you
no,
to
they were
his
like running towards
us.
You have like, to meet Hannah.
You must meet Biscuit. No, he just said it because they were like being crazy in the yard. And I was like, what did you just say?
A guy I work with has cats named Jack and Coke.
Oh,
yeah, I thought that was pretty cute, too. Yeah. So, sorry, we got
a
tangent.
Yeah,
here.
Well, anyways.
Did you grow up with pets at all, or was it because you were allergic you didn't have them?
When I was, like, 5, I got 2 kittens, like, 2 little white kittens. Mm. They were so cute. Mm. I loved them so much. I named them Elroy and Judy. And
oh, my God.
I later found out that Judy was actually a Jude.
Okay.
But,
Trans kitty.
Yeah, trans kitty.
Trans kitty.
This was the early 90s, so they were way ahead of their time. As cats. But
super progressive.
Yeah, very, very much so. So I was super allergic to those cats. Aww. And at some point, they ran away.
Aww.
I made posters and put them up all over the neighborhood.
Oh, my God.
I would lose it.
Oh, just hold on. It
oh,
gets
no.
worse.
Oh,
okay. I'm breathing.
So scared.
You're scared. Hannah's covering her face.
I found out later in life that people had called my parents to tell them, hey, we found your cats. And my parents just said, we don't want the cats back because she's allergic.
Oh, that makes me want to cry.
Honestly, it's for the best.
I'm
probably,
just glad piano music's not playing right now. I'd be falling. Like, oh, God. That was it for like pets going forward.
Yeah, I didn't live with pets again until I lived with Abby, and she has 2 cats.
Were you okay like living there with the cats?
Yeah, I take Claritin every day.
Oh, okay.
So like
you dealt with it.
It's totally fine.
That's the thing I always get so mad. So working at the APL, again, like their cage cards not only tell you like that they have tattoos or like whatever, but they also say like how they were brought in from intake and like what the reason was.
Oh.
And it's always fine, like if it's like stray. And you know, like if they're adoptable, they're probably not officially stray because they actually like people and they're not trying to kill you, but ultimately, when you see it stray, it's just better, like, on your psyche. Like, oh, they're, like, happier here. But then you see, like, allergic to animal. And I'm like, couldn't you just fucking figure it out?
Yeah.
Like, it just breaks my heart. Because then this cat's, like, in its cage, like, sad and crying. And it's like, it was just in a comfy home. And, like, no one could take a fucking Claritin and deal with it. I know. And it's weird because I've worked there for 7 years and you would have thought at some point I would become desensitized to this. And I just have
days
where
I'm like, that's like the one cat that I saw a couple weekends in a row that was just... Remember, it was like sick. It had been there since November. It's still there, last I know. And it was just droopy eyed.
Oh, the one with FIV.
Sniffly and just like,
I want to take it home.
He had FIV too, which was even more pathetic, which is just like cat AIDS.
I felt so bad.
Yeah.
He just looked miserable.
Yeah. I mean, the only
had a comfy little setup, but everyone was just like,
and that's why I always have to, like, when I start to go into that mindset, I'm like, hold on. Like, they're getting fed, they have bedding,
right,
they have
right,
toys,
yeah,
they get love, they get treats.
They're
indoors.
They're getting shots, they're getting
daily
vet
myself.
Visits. And then the other thing is, too, like, people see FIV and they're like, oh my God, because they just think, like, cat AIDS. But really, it's like people AIDS now, where it's, like, so manageable you can live to, like, a normal, healthy life. Sorry, tangents again. Sorry, I'll talk about animals all day long. So we talked about how you found it difficult to share, but you worked it out. You've lived with people, and it seems like it's been fairly, like...
good experiences. Yeah.
It's very amicable, and you've been able to work that out. Where do you still struggle with some elements of that? Or do you at all?
I definitely do. Okay. I think... a lot of times, I mean, I still have that thing where I am like, you should be interested in what I'm doing right now.
Yeah.
I still have that a lot.
I will say, to your credit, though, you're not obnoxious on social media like a lot of people who like attention are. I don't know if that's like a cultivated thing or.
In my opinion, I think selfies are like the worst thing. I will never take a selfie. And it's not because I'm like... self-conscious about my appearance or anything like that. It's just like, you've seen me before.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't need to show you a picture of my new sunglasses. Mm-hmm. Like I'm whatever.
Right.
but yeah, I think I still struggle with that whole thing a little bit. And then also I feel like sometimes I don't understand how the things that I say are going to affect people.
Okay.
And I don't know if that has to do with being an only child, but like, you know, growing up, I didn't have siblings to hurt their feelings. You know, I didn't
to gauge like what person,
And, I think sometimes I don't realize that, you know, not all people respond to sarcasm and not, you know, not everybody is going to get my type of humor. And I get in trouble at work sometimes for that.
Mm.
You know, if I try to talk to my customers like human beings. I mean, like I'm not all business. I work at a record store.
Was
it's fun.
You or Jordan though? I recently read an article. Someone posted something about this is why your record store person is an ass.
Yeah, that was me.
Ah, that was a great article. I was fascinated.
That was an awesome
article.
It basically in this article, like the person who wrote it worked at a record store for a really long time, and they had kept a log behind the counter of all of the incredibly stupid and weird requests that people have had and just like stupid things that customers have said. And we have that actually, like before I read that article, even we have been keeping like
a log.
So you didn't even know that,
no,
that was a thing.
No. And then I found this article, and like the first thing I did when I found this article was I sent it to my coworker and I was like, we're not the only ones. There's more. And yeah. So,
I wonder how many other professions, because I would never, I mean, I get crazy shit all day, but I never even think to make like, this is the bonkers shit that some 73-year-old partner said to me today. Like, I would never think.
I feel like in customer service, there are so many instances. I mean, even like when I was a barista for years, I could just like tell stories and stories and stories about the same people doing the same dumb shit all the time as customers. They don't even realize they're doing it. Like what I call the pterodactyl, which is when customers would come in and we would have to stand there and watch them. I know, sorry, this is a podcast and you can't see what I'm doing, but literally going like this.
Scanning
a like, menu board.
Yeah, like the 180 with their head.
Yeah.
Like, and like they would go into this rigid like.
People
like,
do that
just in
at
their
McDonald's.
Own zone, we'd be like, figure it out.
Like, have you never been to McDonald's before?
Yeah.
You've never seen all of these options?
Someone
like, you know what you get. You order the same thing every time. That's what it is.
I had a joke the other night about, like, I don't think too many people should die except people who've been waiting in line for 5 minutes and still don't know what they want. I was like, oh, that's great. That was a good joke.
I love that meme from, like, The Notebook where he's just like, what do you want? And it was, like the part where he's yelling at her.
Mm-hmm.
And it says, like, me trying to make like dinner plans with my girlfriend. Yeah. And it's just Noah going, what do you want? What do you want? Like,
what do you want?
And it's so true. Like, it's so true.
Yeah.
So tying back in, you were saying like, you feel like you have a really good relationship with your record store customers.
Right. So, but yeah, like sometimes I think I try to respond with humor mm-hmm. in all instances. Mm-hmm. If I'm in a weird situation, if I'm in an uncomfortable situation, that's always my go-to is like, just try to make this person laugh and, diffuse, you know, everything will be fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
I envy that. I want that quality. I just get awkward and robotic as shit. Meh,
ah, meh. Well, here's the thing, though. Not everybody gets
what you're joking.
Yeah. You know, my type of humor does involve a lot of sarcasm and, you know, not everybody gets that.
Sure.
And like a lot of my customers are like teenage boys who are very high on the spectrum and cannot like read that I'm, you know,
there's no making a joke. To, yeah.
Yeah. So that's a thing that I have been consciously trying to work on is, maybe tone it down a little, Chelsea, you know? You don't have to be funny all the time.
How do you, you know, because I know I have the stand-up thing, and I also am obsessed with karaoke, too. How do you feed the attention beast still?
Well, having a boyfriend who is obsessed with me is fantastic.
Yeah, right? You know? Oh, my God. Preach.
That definitely helps.
All day.
I will say, like, if I post something on Instagram and it doesn't get like 35 likes at least, I'm gonna freak out a little bit. So, like, Instagram is a good way to
delete stuff if it doesn't get so
many. Yeah, for sure. I mean, you know, if after 2 hours no one's liked it, it's like this wasn't worth my time. Get rid of it.
It's like my tail between my legs, like, oh.
You're like, fuck y'all.
Yeah. I think also a lot of the time at work, I'm the only employee there, so people have to deal with me. Mm-hmm. And that feeds my attention a lot, too.
Yeah.
That is probably good. Okay. I don't know.
And that's all, like, that supplement, that's enough. Like, that seems to be filling, like, enough of...
I guess so. I still, like, I miss doing stand-up so much.
Yeah.
And I would love to get back into it. And every time, I always tell people, I'm going to work on it. I'm going to try and write, you know? Yeah. And I just, like, I can't do it anymore.
Yeah.
My brain doesn't want to write anymore.
Yeah.
I don't know. I do miss the, you know, the attention. I miss having people look at me and laugh at me and, you know, tell me I did a great job.
If you're into karaoke at all, we go like every week. So
whatever. I don't drink, so I can't.
That makes it harder. Yeah,
karaoke just.
Can you do a high? Because I do a high too.
I guess probably, but I don't get quite that loose.
Okay,
if I'm, you know, just stoned.
Gotcha.
So
yeah.
But I like if I ever, you know, if I ever decide I want to start drinking again, I would totally be down for karaoke.
I can name 15 places off the top of my head where we go.
I want to go back to
Galaxy. Galaxy is great.
I've heard about this place. Yeah.
So we went there for my birthday, and it's in Asia Town, which I'm of the strong belief that is rapidly getting ready to gentrify. It's becoming like the new Tremont, Ohio City area.
I could see that.
There's a craft brewery over there. And I'm starting a new show there.
Hey!
So I love it because it offers the Japanese-style rooms where you can just have you and your five closest friends and it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, like that was my pace because I'm not about, like, getting in front of, like, a room of strangers and singing, like, trying to sing a cover of someone else's song, like, while everyone's wasted and going, what?
Yeah.
But, like, in a room, like, with friends, totally comfortable, friends, like...
Yep. Yep.
Don't care.
Yeah. When I wasn't in college, but it was all my friends were in college and I was hanging out with them in
when
Kent, basically. Yeah, exactly. We used to play a lot of is it called Lips? It was like a karaoke video game.
No shit. Oh, I know what you're talking about now. I've never played it, but it was like all the fucking rage.
Guitar Hero of singing?
Yes.
Okay.
That was the shit. We had so much fun with that. We sang the same 10 songs mm-hmm. 1 million times. Mm-hmm. That was so much fun. I love that.
Shit, man.
Yeah.
Well, I bought Rock Band, and what's funny is I bought Rock Band, and it came with, like, the drums and the guitar and, like, all the stuff, and I was like, oh, no, I'm going to sing. Like, we had, like, a fucking huge, like, plastic drum set and a plastic guitar, and my ex-husband was like, we spent all this money, and it's just you singing.
Yeah,
like,
no, I just want to do the singing
on
part.
On expert level. Yeah, that's all I'm doing.
Yeah.
And then if it was, like, a song where, like, there were no vocals, I would just be like, nah, fuck that. Skip that. Like, it was just, like, there was no point. And no, I totally get that. And that's what's funny about, like, for me, like, I have friends who are, like, so fucking funny, and I'm like, oh, come on, do stand-up, I have a room, you can come do the show, but ultimately, it's like, if you don't feel like it, you know what I mean? If it's just, it's gotta be, like, your thing that, like, you're...
Yeah. I think if it was the right, like, place...
Yeah. Maybe. You should come out to the first show and see... It's April 22nd, which this will be, like, July when you guys are hearing this. but yeah, no, you guys should come to the first show, at least hang out.
Yeah.
Because it's going to be a really cool room. It's, like, half motorcycle garage.
Okay.
Half 80s TV sitcom set. It's insane. Like, it's got
that
a bar.
Awesome. So
but it's BYOB, and it's just got, like, Christmas lights everywhere and couches and, like, coffee tables.
All right.
And literally a television from, like, the 1950s, which I don't even know if it works. But, like, it's probably got, like, the Radiation King or, like, whatever it is. So it sounds like, you know, you're able to fill the void of, like, the attention thing. And, I mean, it sounds like, too, especially if you're still close with your parents and your parents are very much still sort of doty.
Oh,
that
yeah.
That helps a lot, too.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, like, my mom calls or texts me, I'm going to say conservatively, 3 to 5 times a day.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And
I mean, is that you're just like, yeah, that's cool. That's how.
Oh, it's totally fine with me. Yeah.
Are you like a parents, like mama, dad's girl? Because I'm a mom's girl.
Yeah, I mean, I'm definitely, I think I'm closer to my mom.
Okay.
I think I'm more similar to my dad. But I mean, I'm close to both my parents.
Okay.
And because, you know, there was no one else for them to pick favorites out of, you know, I'm the favorite.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I love that part. They can always just honestly be like, you're our favorite.
Yeah,
and there's
exactly.
No, like, element of like.
Yeah. My mom and I will always say to each other, hi, my favorite daughter. Hi, my favorite mom.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, that's also, that's what my mom does because she has a daughter and a son.
Oh, so there.
Like,
yeah.
My favorite daughter. Yep. And I'm like, hee hee. So is there anything else that, like, you're concerned about from a perspective of only child that you want to work more on or you're pretty comfortable? Because, I mean, it's not, I don't know, it sounds like you got your shit together.
I appreciate that. Yeah. I think I, like, within the last year, I've gotten to a point in my life where I finally feel like I've got my shit together. And it's... In fact, something I think being an only child had a lot to do with why I didn't really date a lot ever. I mean, Jordan is the most serious relationship I've ever had. And I didn't do a ton of dating or anything. And I think it was because I was always under the impression that I have to be my own person. And if I'm with someone... You know, that is going to pull me in a direction of, losing my identity. Exactly. And, but I think, you know, over the last year or so, I've finally gotten comfortable enough with myself and who I am that I'm able to, you know, do that now without thinking like, well, I'm going to lose who I am. I'm going to lose my own personal identity, if I'm with someone.
Yeah.
And I don't feel like that at all with him. I feel like I get to be me.
Good.
Yeah.
May I ask, when did you get out of jail?
I was in from the end of 2013 to the beginning of, or to the middle of 2014.
Okay.
I've been out for
4 years.
Almost 4 years. Yeah.
And was it like immediate when you got out of jail that you were like, I'm just going to turn it all fucking around? Or was it a gradual?
No.
Okay.
No. If I hadn't been on probation for six months after I got out of jail, I would have just gone back and probably gone right back into it.
Okay. So that forced you to kind of, okay.
And I guess that's one thing that I, you know, would like to thank the criminal justice system for is making me do all that nonsense. I hated it.
Right.
I really hated it. It was, there was too much of it. They made me do way too many things. It was very expensive.
Yeah.
But I don't want to ever have to do any of that shit again.
Sure. There's something to be said for, the lack of recidivism that's going to happen as a result of all that stuff.
Yes. Yes.
Would you say there's elements of, so like, and I don't, I mean, it's totally up to you how deep you want to get with it, but essentially like the whole only child thing, was it like, did you feel like you had a lack of consequences that sort of led to that kind of stuff, or what was it?
100%.
Okay.
Until I went to jail, never in my life was I punished.
Okay.
For anything.
Okay.
I was never grounded. When I dropped out of college, my parents just let me move back in with them, and I lived there for a very long time. I went through lots of periods where I didn't have a job for a long time, and my parents supported me, which I am super thankful for, obviously. But on the opposite hand, it probably wasn't the best thing they could have done for me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think maybe had my parents shown, you know, discipline me and show, and I was never really out of line when I was a good kid.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I became a teenager and started doing shit that teenagers start doing. Yeah. And it just continued into my 20s.
Nothing that was, no one was telling you no.
No one was making me stop. When I got my first DUI, I had almost no consequences whatsoever. My parents paid my fines, so that was hardly a consequence for me.
Sure.
And then I was 25 years old the first time someone punished me.
Okay.
And that definitely...
But it sounds like that's all it took, though. You know what I mean?
You know what?
I don't want to make it seem like that's all it took, but you know what I mean? Like, some people don't fucking learn. It doesn't matter if they go to jail. It doesn't matter.
I mean, if they had sent me to jail for... 90 days.
Sure.
Maybe not. 6 months is enough. A long time. Yeah.
That's half a year. Time to be in jail.
Yeah. Yeah. It is a long time.
Yeah.
I'm glad I learned my lesson.
Yeah.
I mean, I saw girls in 6 months, I saw girls come into jail, leave jail, and come back to jail.
Yeah.
Like, these people, I mean, people don't learn their lesson. And I, you know, at a certain point, I was just like, I can't fuck around. I have to be a grown up.
What do you think it is? I don't know if you have any insight on this or not, but you would have better than a lot of people, I feel. What do you think it is about when parents have an only child, the sort of concept of like, it's like you're like our sweet, sweet treasure, and we can't, you know, is that what it is? It's just sort of this preciousness and this uniqueness that they don't want to.
I think
that's purely speculative, but it kind of just seems like when you're the only child and there's all that spoiling going on.
Yeah.
There's something about not wanting to, you get one shot at having this great relationship with your kid. You know what I mean? And you don't want to fuck it up by like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah. And I think that, like, if I had grown up in, like, a rich family or, like, a family with money and my parents were able to spoil me more,
sure.
I think I could have become a nightmare.
Yeah.
I hope I'm not a nightmare. Do you think if they had more money, would
they have, been more open to having another kid?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Honestly, maybe if they had more money, they wouldn't have had a kid in the first place. I don't know. I don't know what. Point. I don't know where that would have gone. Yeah. But
I'm glad your parents are poor, because then you can share it with us.
Yeah, me too.
And have this conversation.
Me too.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, it's fascinating to me because, like I said, there are so many people who go to jail for years or decades, and then they just immediately go right back out and reoffend.
Yeah.
So, I mean, clearly they did something right from the perspective that all it took was, you know, one stint for you to be like, oh, holy fuck. Like, you know, again, not to say all it took was, but like, I'm not trying to minimize.
No. And I mean, like, honestly, also, like, jail was really boring. Mm. And I don't want to, like, be that bored for 6 months again either.
Okay.
So, a lot of people I talked to who were like, who were in jail, like, at that time were like, I wish I was in prison. Like, They were like,
oh, so prison versus like, jail.
Well, prison in prison, like you get like a microwave and you get, it's the people aren't transient when you're in prison. You're in there for a long time, so they have to give you more accommodations.
Okay. It's, like jail is like almost like a holding cell. Up to, it could be a year even, or waiting to be transferred or have a court date. Or so it's very like people kind of in and out. And it's not a place you would want to be for a long time.
No, I was in there with like, there was a woman who murdered her husband who was like just waiting to go to prison. And like I was in jail with a murderer.
Yeah, someone like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Forgive my ignorance. Is it based on like jail versus prison? Is it based on like severity of offense or...
Yeah, you're probably not going to go to prison for, like, a misdemeanor.
Okay. But you would go to jail for an extended period of time?
I mean, I did.
Okay, so that's considered a misdemeanor.
I had a misdemeanor. Okay. They called me Chelsea Misdemeanor Elliot when I was in jail because all the other girls had felonies.
Oh, shit.
so they were like, psh.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's amazing.
I liked it.
I was going to say, were you like the princess cupcake? Like,
they also called me jail princess.
I heard Jeremy call you that on the episode of Hey Flo, so I was wondering what that was about.
my mail was, when my friends would write me letters, they would send it to Chelsea King, jail princess. And that's how my mail got delivered to me.
Oh my God. That's Chelsea Princess. Yeah. I was just like, That's fantastic. I'm super glad we had you on.
Thank you so much for having me. This is a lot of fun.
I'm glad you had fun. I always worry. I'm like, the thing is, I usually either get hammered or stoned to the point where I'm like, I can't worry anymore about what's going on. But I always want to make sure like everyone's having fun because I'm just like a Midwestern mom and I want to make sure everybody's happy. This is probably going to air the end of or middle of May. End or middle. Do you have anything you want people to know about?
I have a podcast in the works.
Shit, yes.
It will be on Above Below Entertainment Network. And it's called You Have Terrible Taste with Chelsea King. Basically I just record store girl you, and tell you
the cliche asshole at the record store.
Exactly. And I think sometimes I want to talk to people about like stuff that we both like, know? But mostly I just want to tell people how my taste is better than theirs.
So just music, specifically music taste?
Yeah, it's going to be specifically a music podcast.
I'm going to have my boyfriend reach out to you because he is like fucking obsessed.
Right
with,
on.
He's a music obsessed. Like, he's like Rain Man in the sense where you'll name a date. Like, you'll just say July 16th, 1999, 12:15 p.m. And he'll be like, that's when Smashing Pumpkins, Melancholy, and the Infinite Sadness came out. Like, and then he'll be like, and if it was in July, they were probably on tour at that time. I believe they were at Blossom that year on August 12th, 2000. You know, I was like, what are you even doing right now? Like, how is this happening? So, I feel like you guys would be really good on that.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm super amped to hear that. And aside from the podcast, got anything else coming? Do you want anybody else to find you on social media?
You can find me on Instagram at Chelsea King Was Here. I post a lot of weird record covers
my thing is nice.
I love record covers.
Me too.
Like as art.
Yeah.
I'm like a dude and like a cat in the perspective that like if there aren't pictures of like pretty girls or like other cats or things that are catching my attention, I'm normally like, meh. But then one day I started following your stuff and I'm like, oh, actually, this is pretty fucking cool. You take these really cool.
I'm going to have to follow you now, especially. Because it's unique.
Like, she takes like these, because they're always album covers and they're like the weirdest shit happening on the album covers. I'm like, ooh, look at that.
Yeah, I especially like it when someone puts like a naked child on their album cover.
Oh my God, like
It boggles Nirvana. My mind.
Nirvana. Scorpions had that 12-year-old and they took the picture off of Wikipedia. Of their one album because there was a 12-year-old girl that was naked on one of their album covers.
Yeah, there's a Blind Faith album cover that I went as for Halloween year. That's
you
just a little
Lemmy
girl.
For
with,
Halloween this I did year, go as Lemmy amazing. For Halloween. Lemmy from Motorhead. She went and it was so great.
Nice.
She had like little were they corn pads or what were they?
It was I cut them. It was like a sheet of like fake wounds, like plastic rubber wounds.
She had like the Lemmy like bumps or whatever.
Little guys.
The Lemmy warts.
I made a beard out of fake fur.
Wow. Great.
It was a lot of fun. I was going to do sexy Lemmy, whatever that concept is, but I started gluing the beard to my face and I was like, God, this looks too good. It looks too disgusting. I just have to do it.
Yeah. That's funny you say that just because when the Chilean miner thing happened like 8 years ago, I decided I was going to go with sexy Chilean miner.
Oh my God.
But the thing was I put on a mustache. Like I went on a Pontovia mustache and then wore like Daisy Dukes and like... like just literally tied up a flannel with like a bra underneath. And, like,
1 year I was sexy Weird Al. So, yeah. One year I was a sexy Hebrew schoolboy, which was a weird decision.
Whoa.
Did you have a yarmulke?
I did, yeah. Yeah, that was a weird decision.
Oh my
but,
God, that's great.
Yeah. That was also the last year I went to like college Halloween, and okay. I was too old for it at that point.
Yeah, yeah. The one thing I will say though is like the fact that like I think someone even talked about this on Jordan and Jeremy's show about adult Halloween, how much they hate it. But I'm sorry, like I will be 70 years old and I'll still be like, I'm gonna put on my slutty whatever the thing is at that time.
Well, I love like the sexy Halloween costume mm-hmm. cliche.
Oh my God.
I think it's hilarious. I want to make it now. More ridiculous.
Someone should have a party where it's like you can only dress as slutty something and it doesn't matter what it is. Because like what I love is there's Walking Dead. There's like slutty Walking Dead costumes you can get now, which is insane.
Yeah, like a slutty version of something that's not slutty at all.
Or like slutty pizza.
Yes!
Like what is that? That's not a concept.
My friend suggested slutty suffragette like one time. I was like, that's a really good one, actually.
No. That actually.
I don't know how you would do it, though. We gotta think about
this. Yeah, or like Rosie the Riveter, but slutty.
But slutty, exactly. Oh my God, this is all great. What always distresses me is when I look up like costumes online, and then you see like there's like slutty Elmo, slutty Cookie Monster.
Oh, yeah.
Like now we've just gone
Those
to a bad place.
Out.
Yeah. Now we've just
slutty Dora the Explorer.
I know. Oh my God. Gigi, where can we find you on social media?
You can find me on Instagram at Gigi Chick, G.G.CHICK.
You can find me at Epic Fall, EPICFAUL. I hate that this comes out 3 months from now because all of my shit's jacked up. I was thinking about this the other day. I was like bragging about the bow straddle I'm doing like on 2 weeks from now episode. I'm like, that's already not happening that way because I recorded that 6 months ago. But you can find me every Sunday at 7 p.m. at Skidmark Garage in Asiatown. There will be more information about that. I'm sure by the time this comes out, this will be a well-established institution that will have all kinds of crazy guests coming to because it's going to be that good. Thank you at OK Pants for doing our logo, Pete Milk for doing all of our editing, recording, and just general putting up with tomfoolery. Above, Below, Entertainment, and Lousy Weather Media for being our network. I think we decided what we were doing. Was it a Bollywood?
Yes.
Bollywood. So let's see what we get. Bollywood songs. I'm probably have to play a fucking app. Oh God, there's a lot.
Yeah, there's a lot of people in India.
I know. There's like at least one per person. And oh, there's a 4 minute ad. All right, hold on.
Oh my God.
I'm just going to pretend like this is
happening. That song must be freaking good.
You must really want to hear that.
See, this isn't even Bollywood. Oh, this sucks dick. I'm sorry. You guys are just going to have to deal with me fucking around till we figure out what this is going to be. We need like the ham horn, but for like Bollywood songs. This isn't a Bollywood song either. What is this shit? Come on, man. Hold on. Let's just do Bollywood. And then we're going to pretend like this isn't awkward. And we are going to keep going.
Oh, that's it. Nope.
I just need to get there.
Is this?
That's not Bollywood.
It's not?
Is it?
Wait. Kind of, yeah.
All right.
We're going to say K-Love You, bye.